are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What you doing, Chuck?
Charles Barkley cleaning up.
Just cleaning up around here.
Just happens to be using a broom to help us clean up around the studio.
Trying to be a good teammate.
And welcome. You are locked on to the NBA. My name is Nick Angstead, host of the Locked On Mavericks podcast, media member and coordinator for the Locked On Podcast Network. And I'm joined today, not by Adam Mares, but by Brendan Kleen, Locked On Suns host, all around great guy. Brendan, what you got for me?
Ooh, coming off of a Locked On Suns recording where I tried to do my best to not let people be too down about that loss, but we got a lot of basketball to dig into. I'm excited.
Lots of games to get into. We'll talk about the Suns that Brendan covers very closely, so we'll get into that. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us several days a week at some point. A Suns room, a Mavs room, whatever we do. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right. Heat, Bucks, Nuggets, Blazers, Lakers, Suns, the three games that were on. And all of them had exciting moments and maybe not necessarily as much the Heat and Bucks, but at least you had like an overwhelming defeat with the Heat and Bucks that we'll talk about and talk about the implications for the series, what it means and all that. We'll definitely deep dive into Lakers Suns, talk about Nuggets Blazers. And then at the end, as always, we power rank on Fridays, the third segment. We're going to power rank the most surprising things in the playoffs. So I have a good list of things and we're going to pick the five that are the most surprising for us. So we're going to get into that. All right. Heat versus Bucks. Oh, man, the Milwaukee Bucks, 113-84, and it wasn't even that close. The Milwaukee Bucks, Brendan, they didn't even play that well. Like, it didn't even seem like they shot 36% from three, hit 13 threes. They were 14 of 18 from the line, 77% there. They had 15 turnovers, but they had 60 rebounds, you know, and looking at the Heat, they had 45. It was just like an overall just defensive beatdown. The Miami Heat had a 72 offensive rating, just absolutely brutal for the Miami Heat. And it was in Miami. This is the first game back in Miami. Now it's a 3-0 lead for the Bucks. Are the Heat just like breaking down? Is this like finals bubble like residue, right? Like they're finally just crumbling down from all that. Is this season just gone to complete like crap? Right? Is Tyler Hero just like, man, what is this with this team?
I wish that I knew. I mean, I think it's some of it's obvious, right? Like you had Goran Dragic and Tyler Hero looking like all-stars, both of them in the bubble. That's not happening.
Crowder too.
Crowder, who is not there. Trevor Ariza, clearly not the same type of guy and is much older than Crowder. So I think it's a lot of that stuff that's right there. But I mean, like you at a certain point, you got to give credit to the other guys too. And like, I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel about the Bucks. I love seeing them do this, make good on what didn't happen last year, prove to everybody that they were really being, I think, underrated all season, and guys stepping up for that team. So I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, the Heat just don't have the juice right now, and the Bucks are showing everybody that, hey, we're not that team, and we have some wrinkles that are new, and we have some new guys, and we might go ahead and sweep the team that took us out last year.
I'd love to give credit to the Bucks, but Giannis took 12 shots and only scored 17 points, and they won by like 30, right? Like, it just seems like one of those regular season games where he doesn't play the fourth quarter.
Yeah, right? it did feel like a regular season game. It really did. It was a 27-point blowout. That should not happen in a playoff game.
The one thing I will give credit to the Bucks for is the Jrue Holiday trade. Like that has just paid so many dividends. If you listen to Kane Pittman at all, he talks about how important that trade has been. He has been absolutely great for them. He had 19 points, 12 assists in this game. And I don't know if you care about single game plus minus, but he was plus 41 in this game. Like just insane. The difference between him and a guy you know very well, Eric Bledsoe, like the difference between those guys is massive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you even see it just like there's some simple plays where you almost just take it for granted. Like Holiday can just come off a pick and roll, take a one dribble pull up, and you're like, that's a normal basketball play. But it's really not something that they had. I also think I like kind of how they're using Brooke Lopez in this series. He's actually posting up. He's rolling to the rim. He's doing some different stuff where it's like, you know, another little wrinkle where they see Bam, they see the smaller Heat, and they're like, okay, let's use our size a little bit more. So they're playing this thing differently than they did last year for sure. And obviously the results are showing.
And knowing that we're going to use Brook Lopez because we can out-rebound them. Like, we can get, like, the Bucks are saying, we can get more rebounds and offensive rebounds and all that. We can put back stuff with Giannis and Brook Lopez and even, like, DiVincenzo and Holiday around the perimeter. Like, they can match up with their guys and go up and get some boards. So, yeah, I think that's been a huge thing for them that they did really try and change in this game. Are the Heat done, right? Like, is this going to be a sweep? Like, we played the clip at the beginning of the podcast, but Barkley was sweeping the floor on the TNT set, which was pretty funny. Are they done?
I feel like this might be it. I mean, maybe they win game four and give their home fans one energetic showing. Like you said, it's not as if the Bucks are having to work that hard right now. You could see them getting caught off guard, but I mean, they're not winning this series. It doesn't even look like there's even a path to that. What is it? What would it even look like? I mean, I can't even put that together. So I do think that this is probably the end of the road for Miami, which is disappointing. But they also, I mean, look, Bam's not going to get any worse. Butler's incredible. Like, this is not the end of the end. It's just they did not have it this year, and the bubble was not kind to them with that quick turnaround. And they all season we've kind of known this wasn't the same group, and the results, the playoff results are going to prove that, I guess.
Yeah, the path is they did what they did in the bubble, right? Hero goes off, Dragic goes off, Duncan Robinson hits more than zero threes like he did in this game, right? Like, that's the change there. All right, let's move over to Nuggets Blazers. This one was actually a fun game. Barn burner came down to the end there. The offense was flowing from the tip. 120 to 115, the Nuggets come away with a 5-point win. The story of this game is, like, the Blazers have no shot without Nurkic. That's really the big story here. Dan Devine tweeted this out. The Blazers outscored the Nuggets by 10 points in the 19 minutes Nurkic played in the first half, and they got outscored by 15 in the 5 minutes that Cantor played in the first half. Cantor only played 5 minutes and 50 seconds, and he was a minus 15 in this game. So in the minutes that he's playing, they're getting absolutely smoked by this Nuggets team. Nurkic has now, what is he? He's fouled out of two games now, this game, and then I think also, what was it, game one or game two he fouled out of? So, yeah, that's really the big key for them is that guy, which is hilarious because those two guys were on the Nuggets together. They were the ones that were compared to each other. Should we keep one? Should we keep the other? And then the Nuggets obviously chose the right guy.
I think they made the right call there, yeah. No, I think with Nurkic, I think Matt Moore was tweeting about this, the Locked On Nuggets co-host, and he was saying, like, look, even at the minutes, the fact that Nurkic is getting so tired and having some of these frustration fouls and not being able to keep up physically with the flow of the game is that's an indictment on him. Like, this, yes, he's had some injury problems, but it shouldn't be that he can't stay on the floor like that, whether it's fouls or just conditioning and everything else. And like, if you're the Blazers and you're having to dip so far into your supply of players that you're getting Rondae Hollis-Jefferson on the floor in a playoff game, like, it's dire, right? And they, I think we're just realizing, hey, game one, yes, the Nuggets struggled to handle the guards on Portland, but look, nobody really in the league has an answer for Nikola Jokic, and it definitely doesn't look like Portland does.
The question I want to ask you, though, that may be a little out of pocket, maybe not. Are Austin Rivers and Facu Campazzo the worst starting backcourt to ever win a playoff series if the Nuggets do hold on and win this?
I can't go far back enough to definitively prove that that's true, but I feel like it's a yes. And it's definitely the biggest difference between the quality of backcourts. Like, they're about to beat Lillard and McCollum, and
yeah,
like,
right.
These guys were not in the league last year. So that part now, is
last
wild.
Month, Rivers wasn't in the league. He sat around for like 2 months, didn't he? Yeah, and he wasn't even picked up by a team.
Nobody knew the name wild. Facu Campazzo until like October. Like, nobody knew that player existed. I mean, he's been good, but like, yeah, it's that's I don't know
Shout
what
out
you
to
think
the
of
three
that if you're Portland.
Shout out to the three people that'll tweet me and say they knew who Facu Campazzo was.
Yeah, EuroLeague heads. That's fine. They can tweet at you. They've earned it.
Yeah, they have for sure. Yeah, so, I mean, this is a fascinating series because it's just showing, if you didn't think Jokic was the MVP before, like, this guy is just doing everything. 36 points, 11 boards, only had 5 assists in this game, but he had 4 of his 7 threes, 8 of 8 from the line, only had 2 turnovers in this one, and he's just a load. And if they don't have Nurkic on the floor, they can't really do a lot outside of that. And he just got contribution from everyone else. Austin Rivers went crazy in the fourth quarter, and they just had that wild card game. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need just a wild card guy to go off.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I'm actually surprised we haven't seen Michael Porter Jr. have a huge series. Right. I thought that would be kind of the matchup. I mean, Portland has some length on the wing. I was planning or thinking it would be MPJ, but yeah, you get some crazy games from Rivers. You get the consistency of Jokic. Just one of those series where somebody's going to have to step up aside from Jokic every night. Tonight it was Rivers. He gets his story of the comeback, and the series is turning. Everyone seemed to decide it was Portland after game one, but Jokic had something to say.
Coming up, we're going to dive into Lakers and Suns with the host of Locked On Suns, Brendan Klein, here with us, and we will dive into that one deep dive. But before we do, let me tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They're absolutely delicious. Brendan, what's your favorite flavor of Built Bar?
Double chocolate, no question.
Ooh, double chocolate's a good one. I like that one. I recently just got a box of the mint brownie that are on the screen right now if you're watching, the cherry barcia, and the raspberry. Those are my three favorite. Those are my go-to. I like the little fruit and then the little bit of like the mint in the mint one. Like, they're not overpowering. They're just really good nodes there. They are a protein bar. Tastes like a candy bar, like I said. If you want the double chocolate one, 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar in that one. You can get it right now. They always come out new flavors, too, if you want to try. Go there, BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order with Built Bar. Not your first, your next. You can go and use that code as much as you want. I've used it several times. Go and use it, LOCKED15, to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Brendan, let's get into the Lakers versus Suns game. Not to have you relive this game again that you probably just talked about on Locked On Suns, but this was probably the big game of the night and probably a big turning point in this series, I think. The Lakers come away with the win 109-95. Probably a little closer than the score indicates. The Lakers sort of ran it up there, but what was your thoughts going into this game? And then we have to start with, it's LeBron's first home playoff game for the Lakers, which just seems like a crazy thing that it doesn't make sense in my brain.
It doesn't make any sense. The Lakers, yeah, they showed it on TNT. It's the first home Lakers win since 2012. it just feels wild because we just got done watching them go win a title. But yeah, the bubble changed that. Cool for them, I guess. LeBron's putting on a show, posting up Jay Crowder, making all sorts of faces, and really like getting the bench involved. Like, when LeBron starts like playing around in games, he's kind of playing with his food. That's when you're like, okay, we're here with this guy. I think he feels good physically and feels comfortable with this series. But yeah, I mean, I think like the story, if there is one, is the same it's been all year or all series, which is like, what's up with Chris Paul and can he play? Should he be playing? And I guess I wonder that from your perspective, because I'm in it and I'm hearing all of it every day. But what do you think? Like, should they keep trying this every night where they put Chris Paul out there, see what he can give them, and then take him off the floor if he's not working out, or just shelve him for a game?
Do they have a choice? Chris Paul's done so much for this team, and star players like mean so much. They have so much say. I bet he has so much sway with this team right now. Like, he's probably going to get some MVP votes this year because of what he's done for this Suns team, the way they went from like a 30-win team last year to, you know, like almost a 60-win pace team this year if it was an 82-game season. So I think you have to get, and he chose to come to the Suns too. So you almost have to give it to him, right? Like, allow him to play if that's what he wants. If he doesn't, then yeah, you do right by the player. But I feel like they don't really have a choice, and they also don't have a choice in this series. They have to have him, and it really stinks that this is just another year of Chris Paul getting hurt in the playoffs and us not seeing him with this team. Maybe one of the best teams he's been on. I mean, that Rockets team was really good. Some of those Clippers. Is this better than any of the Lob City teams?
I've made that argument. I think it's hard because Blake was so good and like more proven than Devin Booker. But yeah, like, this is a legitimate chance. The West is so weird this year with the questions around this Lakers team and like the Jazz getting the one seed out of nowhere. And so it was a really good opportunity. Yeah, the entire crowd just went completely silent in that game one when the injury happened. And it's just been a back and forth all series of what can he do and what can he give you? Should he be out there? And they've gotten just so inconsistent of when he can even be on the floor. And today you saw Devin Booker really, really struggled. 6 of 19 from the floor, just 19 points in his 41 minutes, because The Lakers just sold out completely. They did not even try to put somebody on Chris Paul if he did not have the ball in his hands, because I don't even think he physically can launch a shot from three-point distance right now. So Schroeder, KCP, whoever it was, just went to Booker, and it was just double-team
AD
city.
At times.
Yeah, AD started the game on him. It was just like, we're not going to respect your ability to score or shoot whatsoever. So it's hurting the team. It really is.
And the Lakers really stuck with size in this game. That was like a big emphasis for them, and they're just going to keep with it. They're not going to say, oh, we're going to get beaten, so we're going to go small necessarily. 51 rebounds and 35 rebounds. The Lakers had that huge advantage because they have Drummond, they have Anthony Davis, they have LeBron, they have Kuzma had 10 boards. I think four of them were in the same possession. But he had 10 rebounds in this game. They're just out-rebounding them. And it really, I mean, there's a lot of little things we could break down, but it came down to that third quarter run. They just turned on their defense. It felt like they really flipped a switch. And halftime, it was 43-40, which is an insane number for a halftime in 2021, but it was 43-40. And then with like 6 minutes and 12 seconds left in the third quarter, it was 59-46. Like, just that run right there was just backbreaking for the Suns. And then to give them credit, they fought back a little bit, came close there at the end a couple times. But that third quarter run, what did you see from that Lakers team, and what did you see from the Suns? Was it just a breakdown on the Suns' part, or was it just the Lakers turned on the defense?
Yeah, they just turned the ball over and over. And then the one thing that we really hadn't seen the Lakers do a ton was get downhill. I mean, that was the trademark of them in the bubble, was LeBron just completely turning on the Jets, Jay Crowder being the recipient of a lot of those easy looks, just getting downhill. And we hadn't seen them do that. And then the Suns just opened the door for them to do it by turning the ball over, throwing errant passes, forcing it to Ayton a lot when they didn't need to. So the turnover numbers, actually, the Lakers turned the ball over more in this game. A lot of that came in the fourth quarter. The Suns cut it back down to 8 at one point in the fourth quarter, just kind of playing hard once the Lakers had decided that the game was over. But
it was LeBron messing around again, right?
It was LeBron messing around. But yeah, in that third quarter, it was just the Lakers really doing that selling out against Paul, not bothering to guard him, and then just mistakes from Booker and guys like that. And the Suns can't hit a three-point shot right now. I mean, their numbers, again, because of that fourth quarter, look a little better than they were. But for the most part, the main rotation for this team cannot hit an open three, no matter how many good ones they're generating. And you can't make mistakes against LeBron, and they're making a lot of them right now.
Well, and they didn't actually shoot that bad from three. It's just the ones that you need to go, right? Like, Crowder was 1 of 7. Yeah, Booker was 1 of 4. Yeah. Paul can't even shoot one, like you said. But if you look at the number, this is sometimes why the box score doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. They shot 38% from three. You had, Bridges hit 2 of 4. Cameron Payne hit 3 of 5. Torrey Craig, 3 of 5 off the bench. But it's the guys, that, like you said, the ones that need to. Man, in this game, I saw this after that run in the third quarter, and then with like 5 minutes left in the third, the Suns got a 24-second shot clock violation, and they just look like they're finally showing their age, right? It finally showed like the indecisiveness of this team a little bit, especially with Chris Paul off the floor. Because if he's off the floor, sometimes these lineups are like Cameron Payne, Devin Booker, Ayton, Bridges, and like Cameron Johnson, right? Like that's five like super young players that should be doing like what the Thunder are doing right now, instead of doing what the Suns are doing right now.
Yeah, they definitely lost their composure in that third quarter. And whether it was the road, whether it was LeBron and just being intimidated by that, whether it was just like, how on earth do we score against this team right now? Yeah. They didn't have that mental toughness to rely on. They didn't have that point guard to kind of give the reins to. And yeah, Monty Williams opened the fourth quarter with the most absurd lineup when they were already kind of against the ropes. That was strange, like one of those very, like, what is this team? Is it a tanking team or a playoff team kinds of lineup? So, it's going to be a lot of eyes on game four, I think, because if the Suns roll over, it'll be a little bit of a wash of a series. If they can bounce back, that'll be really impressive. But they looked, like you said, they looked their age in this game.
We saw a couple of random things I want to talk about. Frank Kaminsky straight up blocked Andre Drummond on a post up, which is just an absurd play that I just did not expect. Drummond like tried this hook floater kind of deal, and Frank Kaminsky just stood up and blocked him, and I was like, they should never post up Drummond again.
Say Frank Kaminsky, like, just appearing in the game was the random.
Yeah, that's also true.
The block was crazy, but I mean, I didn't even expect to see him.
Is Sarge hurt? Is that why he wasn't playing in this one?
He just wasn't very good in the first two games. Turned the ball over, wouldn't shoot, couldn't play defense, so they just tried something else.
Dang. Yeah, they're looking for answers and trying to find them. Marc Gasol was kind of an answer, not necessarily in this game, but in some of the other ones, that's sort of been the adjustment that the Lakers finally made, that their fans have been asking for weeks almost. Booker and Crowder get ejected at the end of the game. Any thoughts on just, I guess, the fight that they sort of showed at the end of this one?
I loved how, so Booker, yeah, Anthony Davis after the game said that it was just like a completely inappropriate, uncalled for thing. Schroeder put on a show rolling like six extra times on the ground after he fell. I think it's funny for Anthony Davis to say that after the kicking in the groin of Jay Crowder that he did in the first game, in like the first minute of the first game. And then, yeah, Book gets ejected for the flagrant that they call on that. Jay Crowder, I don't even know what the tech was. He just like muttered something. He didn't even get into it, and the ref just threw him. Just get
it's like
out
some
of
magic
here.
Words, right? Yeah. No one ever says what the magic words are, but there are some that if you just say it, and it doesn't even matter how close you are, the refs will throw you.
Yeah, we probably could guess. I think we could come up with them if we really wanted to, but yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we can say some of them.
Yeah, we don't. I don't know if we have the E on this podcast or not, but... yeah, again, it's just an example of the composure stuff, right? They can't be that mentally weak if they're going to beat LeBron freaking James in a playoff series. It's just not going to happen.
Coming up, we're going to power rank the most surprising things that have happened so far in the playoffs and see which one will come out on top. We'll get into that. But before we do, let's talk about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and best way to put down some money on sports. Let's check out some of these games coming up tonight, Friday, if you're listening and watching to this. Hawks, 4-point favorite against the Knicks in the A. I don't know if everyone calls it the A, but apparently Hawks, like Trae Young and them, call it the A. I always thought it was the ATL, but the Hawks are a favorite in that one. The Nets are a 7.5-point favorite over the Celtics in Boston. I feel like that one, maybe take the Nets in this one than the 7.5.
Yeah.
Clippers, a 2-point favorite against the Dallas Mavericks at home in Dallas. I'm indignant.
It doesn't make any sense.
The Mavericks are due for a game where they shoot like 5 of 30 from 3 or something.
The disrespect
like that,
at home, though. What is that? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that one doesn't really make a lot of sense. And then Saturday, if you want to look at a couple of these, Sixers, 5.5-point favorite against the Wizards. That one doesn't make any sense. That one feel like should be a couple more points because a couple of the surprising things in our power rankings will come up, but... And then the Jazz, a 5-point favorite against the Grizzlies. There you go. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Get a 50% welcome bonus to the first deposit. If you're feeling good about any of those games, go check them out and go put some money down. Also, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. It's the one-stop shop to get your auto and body parts for your car. It's a family business serving parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They take it, they put it all in one place, they have the exact specifications and the parts that you need for your car. Their catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, rockauto.com prices are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck right now and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. They know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Brendan Klein, let's get into our power rankings. The most surprising things in the NBA playoffs so far. I got a couple for you. And Adam always comes with a list, and I always come with a list that's not actually numbered, and he gets mad at me. So we're going to continue that. We're going to continue that trend.
Okay. I mean, I was unprepared, so I'm going to probably not have an order either. You throw them at me, and I'll think through mine.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to throw you mine. You can... have some if you want to throw a couple in. The Mavericks are going to have 16,000 plus fans in the building in their home opener tonight on Friday in the playoffs. That is a surprising thing to me. First of all, 2 months ago, if you had told me that there's going to be 16,000 people in one like sanctioned event, I would have just been so surprised. That one's probably up there, and it hasn't happened yet by the time we're recording this. So
I was at the Suns' past two games, and they had about 11-12, and they're going to have 16 on Tuesday's game 5. And yeah, it's a pretty insane thing to be in the building for. It's just like, oh yeah, we used to do this. Like, that's like a thing right. We did all the time. And now it's like, you're looking around and you're like, I know that I'm safe, but am I? This is weird.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's awesome. There's nothing like a shaking arena, like crazy crowd. It's the best. I'm excited. I'm glad that Dallas fans get a taste of it.
So that would have been a surprising, maybe a couple months ago, but maybe not as surprising right now. The Clippers, let's just do the Mavs. Clippers. Clippers are down 0-2, both of their losses at home. That has to be up there as one of the most surprising things. Some people called this, but not many.
No. I mean, didn't you guys tweet it? One ESPN personality picked
Royce
Dallas.
Young, shout out.
Exactly. Nobody saw this coming, and the fact that it's headed back to Dallas makes it only more interesting. Yeah, that's a complete surprise. Although, in the grand scheme of things, we'll probably look back on it and be like, no, Luka kind of made the jump. That doesn't seem super surprising, but this Clippers team, man, what are you going to do with them?
What is this Clippers team going to do after this? If they disband, if they make some big full-scale moves, like all of a sudden, that's 2 years and one playoff series that they won, and it was because Luka was hurt in a game and Porzingis missed three and a half games out of it, right? You look back.
Yeah, you said about 2 months ago that the crowd thing would have been crazy. Imagine if you had said that to Clippers fans the day that they traded for Paul George and got Kawhi, and you were like, hey, man, in 2 years, people are going to be panicking about all this because Luka, who's like 20 right now, 2 years ago, is going to slay you guys in the playoffs. Yeah, that would have been bonkers. Gosh.
Who would have thought? Those that believe in the Clipper curse, I think those people would have believed.
That's fair.
The other surprising thing, and the more surprising thing about this series to me, this is like a mini extra one. Luka, total points scored in the fourth quarter so far in games 1 and 2 combined. 5.
Yeah, I was going to say 5.
5 total points. That's I've said that on every platform I've been on. Locked On Mavs, Locked On NBA, all the Tegna stations I've been on the last couple of days. I keep bringing that up because he's still got another level to go and he can still take over in the fourth quarter. It hasn't happened yet.
There's nothing that he can't solve, it feels like. I don't really know. Like
Free throw line, that's the only one.
He just hasn't had to, right? Like he hasn't scored in the fourth quarter because they just are setting other guys up. But yeah, we're going to see some magic from him in the playoffs.
The Heat getting blown out at home. This game 3, I think, is surprising to a lot of people. And just generally, the Heat being down 3-0, especially after all the conversation of, well, shouldn't the Bucks have been a little concerned about this Heat team? And, you know, they got beat by them last year. Aren't there going to be, like, ghosts in the closet, them thinking about this team? No, that has not happened at all.
No. I'm not surprised, actually, on that one. Like I said, I think
they got blown out at home.
I mean, I just think Milwaukee's that much better. I heard people saying, oh, Miami should be the favorite in this series. And like this is the wrong line. And Milwaukee is just going to fall over again. And it's like, have you guys watched the Bucks? Like, I get they don't play in a big city, but like the guy won the MVP 2 times. If you remember, they have some pretty good players. Yeah. But I mean, the score is nasty, but I really thought this would be a pretty quick win for Milwaukee.
It is turning into that and possibly a sweep. Surprising. We've already talked about it. I'll get into it a little bit more. Austin Rivers and Facu Campazzo are the starting backcourt of a team that may win a playoff series and are up 2-1. That has been surprising. And Austin Rivers is just fourth quarter in this game as well, this game 3.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. Like, I know Gary Harris was very much like not a desirable player for Nuggets fans by the time he got traded, but like they would have missed him. Like, I think that did get lost a little bit where it's like, yeah, Aaron Gordon's awesome. Of course, nobody denies that, but they really do kind of have a hole there. And yes, they're injured, but they don't have really a guy to defend that spot anyway, even if they were healthy. So yeah, they were going to be in for it either way, but they're very depleted and it's just funny to look at.
Yeah. It's funny to look at the starting five and be like, wait, what? Hold on. This guy? Memphis' game 1 win in Utah. I thought that was a pretty big one. Dylan Brooks' game may not have been that surprising because he's known to completely go off in a game and then just be, you know, disappear in the next game. But
I was going to say Ja.
And Ja's game 2, I think, was surprising. Like the most points ever scored at Utah in a playoff game. How is that possible? All the playoff games they've played there.
Yeah, just because all their games were like 88 to 86 for most of the time that they were in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but yeah, 47 points in your first playoff series, that's a surprise no matter who it is. That's incredible.
All right, so those are the big like moments. Here's a couple of mini ones for you. Robert Williams, 9 blocks against Brooklyn of all teams. Like Brooklyn, this jump shooting team that like Kyrie never gets blocked and Harden hardly ever gets blocked. And how can you block KD? And he got 9 blocks in a game versus Brooklyn. That was surprising.
I like the pun that I'm about to say, and I'm just congratulating myself for it before I say it, but he's making the leap. The leap, do you get it? Because you have to jump to block shots. He's making the leap. Robert Williams.
Hey, you time-lorded all over that one. That was bad. Cameron Payne, game two for the Suns. This guy was in China. What, like last year? 19.7 assists. Two blocks! Cameron Payne is like shorter than me. And he had two blocks against the Lakers in a playoff
This
game.
Is what it was always going to be. People who hadn't watched this team, like the Suns, Payne's been like maybe their sixth best player, seventh best player all season long. He took the disrespect of no sixth man of the year votes, and he's showing everybody what they've been missing.
Here's my most surprising one. And maybe not just surprising, but just like a wild thing. Davis Bertans, game two, 24 minutes, 0 points. Zero assists, zero steals, zero blocks, zero turnovers, zero made field goals, four field goal attempts, and all of them were three-point shots, and just two rebounds in 24 minutes, and he fouled out.
So close to the 24 trillion.
So close.
So close rebounds. He should have just ignored the rebounds, and just it would have been more exciting if he had actually gotten no box score stats. Yeah, That signing has not looked good in the playoffs. The play-in was really ugly. It's not. He just can't defend anybody, it seems like.
$16 million next year, $16 million the year after that, $17 million the year after that, and then a early termination ETO for $16 million the year after that even. Like, we're talking years down the like yeah. multiple years. That one just is surprising in general.
I was going to say, I got one for you.
Yeah, give me one.
Julius Randle in a bad way?
The surprising thing would be the Knicks winning that game with Randle scoring 15 points, especially since everyone was saying, well, the Hawks don't have an answer for Julius Randle. They can't guard him, and he's not factored offensively that much.
That's true, but that's a heck of an accomplishment by them. It's just crazy that in two home games, he was really, like, not much of a factor, not really close to the level he was at when he was, like, an MVP candidate in the regular season. If they were going to be successful in the series, you almost assume that he had to play well. So, yeah, them figuring it out without that is awesome, but he's going to need to do more if they're going to try to take down the Hawks, who look pretty good right now, too.
Players that have fouled out in games, if any of these surprise you, Marcus Morris, Nurkic twice, Cameron Payne, Davis Bertans in that game, Gobert, and Booker.
Bertans getting six fouls is just kind of odd. I didn't think he really got involved in enough things for that to happen. The rest of those guys, it's like, yeah, that's exactly like you said, Marcus Morris first, and I just started nodding. We've gotten to the list. Yeah,
Marcus Morris's face when he fouled out in game two of Clippers and Mavs was amazing. Like chef's kiss, it was great. It was awesome.
I don't miss the Marcus Morris experience. I'm sorry, Clippers fans. I do feel bad. It's not ideal. It's not a great way to root for a team.
Apparently, for the Lakers either, their Morris experience has not gone well. So
they're benching him and they're good. I mean, that's fine. He's going to get a second ring potentially. I think it's working for both sides as long as he wasn't expecting to play this year.
Well, and if they share the same bank account, it's going well for both of them. But if they're not, then Markieff is getting the short end.
Thank you, Steve Ballmer. That's really the end of that. Markieff can just send him a Christmas card or something every year, too.
This was part of the regular season, but here's my last one. It wouldn't be surprising if you watched this team during the regular season, but if you just tuned in for the playoffs and like just tuned in for free agency and playoffs, Luke Kennard playing 0 minutes and 0 seconds after getting that contract this summer is a surprising thing.
They're the most bizarre team in terms of guys who play and don't play. Like Luke Kennard not playing, Serge Ibaka seemingly unable to play, Reggie Jackson playing all the minutes. There's a lot of stuff going on with the Clippers that I don't understand.
There's some weird stuff. There you go. Go follow Brendan Kleen at BrendanKleen14 on Twitter and go listen to Locked On Suns for all your Suns breakdown. Great stuff. Great guests all the time. Locked On Mavs for me at Nick Van Exit on Twitter. Guys, thanks so much for listening to Locked On NBA. Boom.